There is a wonderful world standing before us. Synthesizing all opposites arise at absolute truth. This is the Absolute Philosopher, Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing and the University of Philosophy here in Campbell, California. Synthesizing all opposites arise at absolute truth. How interesting, huh? You know, synthesizing is a word that we use a lot in our life, and it can be a deductive reasoning, and that's a very fascinating thing that humans like to do. And it can be a dialectic combination of thesis and antithesis into a higher stage of truth. Now, this is more likely in the area that we're interested in thinking, because we're thinking of taking understanding, taking the positive, the negative, and utilizing it in a very wonderful whole that brings to us all the knowledge and all the wisdom and all the beingness of the entire universe. And of course, absolute truth does not depend upon the universe. Absolute truth does not depend upon man. Absolute truth does not depend upon existence as we have it. If we could understand and realize that absolute truth is an existence, regardless if there is an existence for it to be in. It does not need humanity. It does not need planets. It does not need a solar system. It does not need any type of creation for it to exist. This is an interesting concept for us, because it sometimes boggles our mind to think that a concept can exist without something to utilize it. A concept can exist without something to utilize it. Now, how could that be? How can a concept exist without something to utilize it? Well, if you realize that mathematical formulas have always been, musical notes have always been, the idea has always been, the concept has always been, and it exists in, if you will, in the void of the nothingness, as well as in the reality of the allness. It does not need anything to exist. A concept is. And so, if you were to take the opposites of anything, if you were to take the pluses and the minuses, and you were to say that they are all sort of gathered together in a harmonious whole, utilizing that harmonious whole for wisdom, understanding, knowledge, then you get closer to being absolute yourself. Now, being absolute and how you use it, for all of us, as we contemplate it, it seems to be sort of a fruitless, unnecessary, and undesirable thing. Let us remain human. Let us remain aware of our divinity, but remain human, because it's only through our human life that we understand the utilization of these things. However, these things have utilization far beyond our human life. And as we contemplate these things, as we contemplate the concept far beyond the utilization of human life, we begin to enter into a realm of magic and mystery. It's really not magic or mystery, because it's a very factual thing. And factual thing is not the right word to use there. Fact means it's something that's touchable, something that's utilized. But these concepts that we're talking about, they exist without purpose. They exist without direction. They exist without reason or rhyme, without any logic to them. They just are. And so, if you were to put together, if you can conceive of this idea, if you were to put together fire and water and have them right next to each other, and have the water meld with the fire, and the fire meld with the water, and have the fire and water retain their original properties, retain their original conceptualities of what they are, what would you have? Well, you could come up with some joking responses to that, but what you would have is fire being fire at all times, and water being water at all times, and neither disturbing the other in the slightest, water not putting out the fire, and the fire not drying up the water, causing it to evaporate, as we do in our physical thinking. You see, and when we can start thinking of fire as coexisting, if you will, or not really coexisting because it is the water and the water is the fire, when we can conceive of fire commingling with water and retaining its original reality, its original conceptualization, then we begin to realize that thinking thoughts that we think must be thought on a totally different frame of reference. Because thinking these thoughts just boggles the human reality and says everything we have learned in our human attitude does not fit in absolute. And that is very true. Because absolute does not have a relative relationship to anything. Absolute does not have a relative relationship to anything. I'll say it again. Absolute does not have a relative relationship to anything. When you take fire and you take water and you take these two concepts and put them together, which in the first place you cannot do, but if you took these two concepts and put them together in an absolute frame, they would not interact with one another in the slightest. Because the act of, so to speak, putting out the fire is a concept unto itself. If you think of putting out the fire with water, you have completely changed your thinking from the absolute awareness of fire and water being unique and being untouchable frameworks of thought. They are concepts unto themselves. And if you think that the fire evaporates the water, so that the water becomes useless to put it out, you're again creating a whole new set of concepts. Or not even creating them, you're revealing them. You're being aware of a whole new set of concepts. And all these concepts in no way change another concept. The concept of fire and water stand as concepts. The concept of fire causing water to evaporate is another concept. The concept of water causing fire to be put out is another concept. But you see, as you take the fire and you take the water and you use the water to put out the fire, you are depriving the fire of oxygen. And depriving the fire of oxygen, it cannot burn because that's part of its structural conceptualism. Now, what you're not putting water on the fire to put it out. You're merely using water as a medium to block out the oxygen from the fire. Now, a master, a genius, a mensa person, a person of great intellectual acuteness, who is not necessarily thinking that he's so smart, just plays with these thoughts and plays with these as one would with a crossword puzzle. You just take these ideas and know that they are concepts, and know that these concepts lie within the realm of whatever concept they are, and then you create new concepts, and you're perfectly free to do that. And you create the new concept of fire and water interacting. And the old concept had fire independent, water independent, everything else independent, all as concepts unto itself without any interaction. And once you synthesize them, and once you take these opposites and you arrive at them, you find that absolute truth is revealing to you that whatever conceptualization, and that's what you're doing, whatever conceptualization you create in your mind for absolute concepts, you're perfectly free to do. You can create the water and steam. You can create the fire, and you can create being put out by the water itself, or the fire evaporating the water. You can put up all these concepts, and these concepts do not destroy one another. The concepts merely bring a new aspect, which is not new because it always existed, but they bring another aspect of how the relationship, and there we go into the word relationship, how the relationship of water is to fire, or fire to water. And as we enter into absolute thinking, there is no relationship. The evaporation of water becomes in itself a concept, complete, whole, and perfect. It does not need the fire to evaporate the water. It does not need the water to be whole, to be evaporated. It is the evaporation that is. And you see, when we think in these fabulous terms, when we think in this marvelous concept, synthesizing all opposites, arrives at absolute truth, we find that we, and I'm trying to move us from the point of thinking in the relative all the time, but we think each concept stands pristine by itself, without any relationship. And we find that in synthesizing these concepts, that they too create new concepts in each synthesis that we do, in each gathering together of these things, in dialectically understanding these things. And they're exciting as can be. But this is what the game of absolute is all about. It moves us from the realm of the obvious, from the realm of the human pre-described ways of things being done and relationships that take place, to a condition beyond a relationship, where each is a concept, where no relationship could ever take place on the relative world if it were not first a universal concept that stands alone and by itself. Whether we give reason for anything happening or not makes no difference. We can say a car ran into a tree because we can see the tree knocked down with the marks that a car might give it. And then later on we find out that that was not so, that there was a tractor that went by and pushed the tree down. And then later we find out that's not so. We find that the wind blew, and when it was blowing, it was so strong like a tornado, it blew a large object that knocked over the tree. And then we find that was not true. We found that it was a flood, and the water had rushed by, and the water bent over the tree as it was going by. You see, we conceive of, in the relative world, the need to have a reason for things happening. And in absolute, there are no reasons. There are only an isness, which refers to an instant, if you will, in the timelessness of all in which anything exists. Playing with the absolute philosopher is kind of fun. It kind of boggles our mind and kind of gets us a little bit of exercise upstairs. And the more exercise we have in our thinking, the more exercise we have in our mind, the more brilliant our mind becomes, and the more humble we become about that brilliance. In that process, think on these things and realize that the game of absolute is truly an individual game. And the absolute philosopher, present in every being, can sort of focus with the absolute philosopher present in any other being and play these little games, knowing that it knows everything, and it knows the outcome of the game. It knows the rules of the game, because it had created these rules by its own conceptualization. And that in absolute, there's no beginning and no end. All is, and all exists, in the ever-present now. Kind of an exciting thought, isn't it? But really, that's where it's all at. Have a lovely day. Think lovely thoughts. And let the absolute philosopher in you have full sway. And realize when you do, wow, life gets quite interesting. I love you. I love you. I love you.